Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to bless you, Lord, through the study of your word. Holy Spirit, help us to understand, give us wisdom. Search our hearts, our minds, clear them. Help us to really understand you, Lord. We thank you that you are providing for all of us, that you are providing a moment to come together to bless you and the study of your word. In your name we pray, Lord. And everyone says, amen. Amen. So we continue on building on the foundation, and we've been, this is the whole program. We are in the attributes of God. We've gone through holiness, righteousness, and justice. We haven't covered everything we need to cover on all of them, but I guess a primer on each one of those attributes. And I know not all of these are the total attributes of God. Sovereignty, eternality, immutability, omniscience, omnipresence. And I know Master Troy did a fantastic job last time, and he left you with an easy question last time that didn't create any doubts or a discussion. So if you want, we can start with that, and we can bring Troy here. No, and he's like, no, let's continue on. He doesn't want to deal with that anymore. You started it, bro. No, so let's continue on. So today we are in omnipotence. Omnipotence. And then we'll get to those last three, love, truth, and mercy. And of course, like I said, this is just a few of God's attributes. So omnipotence, it's all power. He has all power. Hello, hola. So glad to see you guys and doing well. Omnipotence, all power. In our definition, God is all powerful, but we don't stay there. He said he is able to do all his holy will. He is able to do all his holy will. And I want to quote Saint A.W. Pink. He's actually quoting Stephen Charnock, another saint of the, says, the power of God is the ability and strength whereby he can bring to pass whatsoever he pleases, whatsoever his infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of his will may resolve. And we're going to talk about able to do all his holy will and what that means in terms of all of his attributes. Remember, we don't take, it's easier for us just to take one attribute at a time. But God is not just one attribute more than others. He's all of them. And it's very hard sometimes for us, many times, all the time for me, to know that he's all of them equally. I don't get it. But he is. God's omnipotence has reference to his own power to do what he decides to do. It's not what we decide for him to do. It's what he decides to do. Let's continue with our friend. Actually, let's go straight to all of this. I want to go and straight to the Bible. That's our source, right? That's our source. So, Danny, I want you to look at Psalm 24:8. Taj, Genesis 18:14. John, you, John. Jeremiah 32:27. And actually take Jeremiah 32:27 and 32:17. Okay? Let's see. Miriam with a Y. Ephesians 3:20. Osborne. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, you. Revelation 1:8. And then, Tony, Hebrews 1:3. I give you 2 seconds to find your references to 1.5, 1, and Danny, please read yours. 24:8. Go ahead. The Lord mighty in battle. Who's got Genesis 18:14? Is anything too hard with the Lord? Who's got Jeremiah 32:27 and 17? John 17. Who's got Ephesians 3:20? According to the power at work. Now, who's got 2 Corinthians? Osborne. Says the all-powerful God, right? Who's got Revelation 1:8? The Almighty. And who's got Hebrew 1:3? So what are we reading? What have we read? What's the theme on all of those from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Power. Of course, that's the theme of the study.
The manifestation of His will.
The manifestation of His will.
I would say His love also.
His what?
Love.
His love. It's everywhere in the Bible that His power, it's in control. That He is it. From the beginning. When we talk about the power of God, and through the study, in my preparation for today, I just come back to Genesis 1. He just had to say it. You know, we have all these arguments and all that, blah, 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 blah. And I just come back to Genesis 1. Let there be light. Boom! There was light. Oh, but that was someone, and it's not really happening. It's true. From Genesis 1 all the way to the last word of Revelation. Either you believe it or you don't believe it. The power of God. And it's everywhere. And He says it. And every character in the Bible talks about His power. Those who believe in Him and those who are afraid of Him and are His enemies. And we'll talk at the end about the power of God in judgment. And that's really got me. I can't wait to get there. Because it really is really just slapped me silly. Anyhow, so the power is frequently mentioned in Scripture. He is. And at the end, and I want you, Tony, to read your verse again, if you don't mind.
Sure. The exact
speak. It's up. So, it's referring to Christ, right? And Christ is God, right? It's not a manifestation of God. He is God.
By the word of His power.
Stop right there. So it's not what He did in Genesis 1. It's what He continues to do. Because He upholds. He's the great preserver, sometimes it's called. He sustains. You understand that?
No, but okay.
No, but okay. See? I like that, Tony. I like it because we think we do. But we minimize it. And the whole point of us coming together here is that. Is to let our hair down and say, yeah, but no. It's okay to say no. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Because my answer will be, I don't either. Maybe. But I will try to answer it. We'll find someone who does. But that's okay. And the point is that His power continues to be. It's not what He has done. It's what He continues to do. And that what He will do when He comes back. And that is hope. And when we live our life, and this is more application. When we live our life and we read our news and we go like, all of that. He's still preserving by His own power. You get that? You understand that? I know it's difficult because we live right now and we're like, where is He right now in His power? I don't see Him. Well, I didn't see Him before. I don't see Him when He stopped things from happening to me. You follow what I'm saying? You understand? Hopefully you agree with it too. So, He's not limited to what He has done. And that's the point. So let's get to biblical truth again. All right, so, Doña Natalie, would you look at Luke 1:37? Pastor Bob, would you mind Matthew 19:26? Angie, Matthew 3:9. Carl, would you mind reading Psalm 115:3? Andrew. Exodus 32:10. And Troy, Job 26:14. 2:1. Who's got Luke 1:37? For with God, nothing will be impossible. It's nothing was impossible. Nothing will be. Right? Next. Matthew 19:26. Hmm. Isn't that truth? God Himself said it. So store it in your heart. Sometimes we just want things right now. And that's difficult. Because we don't understand it. But with God, nothing is impossible. Matthew 3:9. What does that mean? What does John the Baptist saying there? Anyone? You want to read it again? Read it again. Anyone? Yes, sir. Tony. He did it. Because at that point, Abraham was long gone, right? And if He did it for Abraham, He can do it for you right now. And He can just tell these rocks, and from these rocks, anyone can come. Because He is so powerful. And He doesn't need you. It's not about you guys. And the more we make it about us, the more we push Him away. And that's why we want to bring back that it's not about us. Anything else? Good. Next. 115:3. Who had 115:3? Carl. I think you have one Psalm 115:3. No?
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. God is one who does what He pleases. Uh-huh. ¿Qué le dijo uno de los discípulos? And Exodus 32:10. Let's set that up. I think we need to set that one in particular up. Let Andrew go a little before that. Let's go to I think it's verse 7 or 8. Set it up, because God is talking to Moses. Stop. So. God is talking to Moses, and He says to Moses, go, sir.
They have turned
this. No. From the start.
Oh, from back to
the... Yeah.
And the Lord said to Moses.
The Lord said to Moses.
For your people.
He's trying to make a point, guys. Your people. Keep going. Whom you, imagine Moses, is like, my people? Me? You made me. Keep going. Huh. But did He? Did He consume all of them? But He could have. And that's the point we're trying to make. And He had, way before, called the flood. Troy. So, what do you think He's talking about there? You want to start before?
No?
No? Yeah, I want you to. You just made the point, so... Start a few verses before. And that's the point I'm trying to make at the end. Even all of that, all we see, all we understand is but a small example of His own power. And I go back to Genesis 1. He has the power of making things come out of nothing. And I've used it here before with, you know, in our VBS, we always, when we were teaching the kids creation, we always tell the kid, close your eyes, put your hands out, and say, let there be M&Ms. Now open your eyes. No M&Ms. All right. Let's do it again. Now, truly believe you can do it. Let there be M&Ms. All right, maybe no M&Ms. Skittles. It doesn't. We don't have it. We don't understand it. Why are we so amazed when we put a man on the moon? How are we so amazed when we see fireworks I love them. I love them. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
We can't do that.
We can't do it. He does. He does, but we don't take the time to slow down and say and understand, wow, or say, wow. And we only concentrate on the bad, not the good. And I'm not belittling the bad things or the suffering that some of us are going through. I'm not, but we only concentrate on that and not on the great things and the awesomeness of His provision, which is as simple as I can breathe, I can get dressed and come here today. Yes, sir.
119 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
For what can't...
Boom. As an example, we only have to go to the Bible. We don't have to add anything. Yes? Continue on. Now, all power only belongs to God. Only to God. All power. All of it. All of it. So, Matthew 8:3. Tony, can you read Matthew 8:3? And George, can you get John 11:43? Power, meaning all power, omnipotence, only belong to God. I'm sorry, I haven't paid attention to you guys on this side. Next time we'll just bring some more people on this side. Go, Tony. Only God can do that. Only God. Have you seen anyone do it? I mean, there's a bunch of people just... they can't do it. Uh-uh. For a hand, a body completely healed of leprosy... and all the other miracles that they were witnesses to, a hand just come. Only the power of God. You all know the story, right? He said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus stayed there. No. Lazarus came out. We always think, you know, imagine he just had said, come out. All of them would have come out. He said, Lazarus, come out. And he gave him a warning. What was the warning, Troy? That he was... So it wasn't that he had just... he had a concussion and he was sleeping or no. They had gone in. And Lazarus had been dead for some time. Right? Uh-huh. What are you laughing at? Okay. Anything else? Yes, sir. Right? Correct. You know, you just said something interesting. I wish I was there to see it. But I wonder what reaction would have been. Truthfully, if we had been there to see it. I don't know. I'm just saying. Because we're judging based on what we know today. Sir, he says, and you came to torment us before the time. So they knew they were going to get was coming to them. So they're ready. They know. They know they're going to get it. Nothing. So I don't know. I don't know. I think it's interesting. But I'm glad. I'm glad that I know Him now. It's not a what if. I'm glad that I know Him. That I have the hope that I will be with Him for eternity. And the power is the point you just made in the name of God. Look at Mark 14:62. You, Troy, Mr. Reader today. And I want to also go to the power of God in creation. And we talked about Genesis 1, and who hasn't read? John. Go to Psalm 89, 11 and 13. So, Troy, Mark 14:62. Read it again. At the right hand of power. That's His name. The name of God is power. Don't forget that. We study the names of God and we never use that name. But it's biblical. It's right there. And Jesus says, right? Now, the power of God in creation. We've seen it. We talk about Genesis 1. And we have 1, 3, 6, 11, 9, 11. When He says, let there be light, and there was light. And let me create and dispense and all that. And He goes through all creation. And He created things. All of it. Out of all the clay He had on the side. No. No. That is true. No, it was just and it just a little thing and it, explosion. And no. God said there be light and bang, there was light. And He continued on. And all was good, it says. Very good. So His creation was good. Then it became not so good. But that's a subject for 10:29. I'm going to leave it there in a sec. Go ahead, sorry. Oh, who has John? So, the psalmist is saying, everything is yours. You created it all. I'm just using a few verses. So I want to quote again two of my favorites. A.W. Pink again. Not a creature in the entire universe has an atom of power save what God delegates. Meaning, not a spit of what God has, but God's power is not acquired. Nor does it depend upon any recognition by any other authority. It belongs to Him inherently. It's His and only His. And Spurgeon said, God's power is like Himself. Self-existent, self-sustained. The mightiest of men cannot add so much as shadow of increased power to the omnipotent One. He sits on the buttressed throne and leans on no assisting arm. His court is not maintained by His courtiers, nor does it borrow splendor from His creatures. He is Himself the great central source and originator of all power. Now, are there things that God cannot do? And the answer is yes. Yes. That's the answer. God cannot do anything that would deny His own character. He cannot lie. So He cannot do it. I'll be with you in a sec. Titus 2:1-2. He's called literally the unlying God, or a God who never lies. Now, Hebrews 6:18. God cannot lie. God's oath. It's impossible for God to lie. There's other examples. He cannot deny himself. And God cannot be tempted with evil. Or he himself tempts no one. You had a question? You got it? So, God cannot lie, sin, deny himself, or tempt. It's not, it goes against his nature. It's not him. And that is why our definition is stated in terms of God's ability to do all his holy will. It is not absolutely everything that God is able to do, but everything that is consistent with his character. He cannot cease to exist or cease to be God or act in a way inconsistent with any of his attributes. And this goes back to my very beginning. You know, we study the attributes one at a time, simpler. But they all exist together. He's all of them at the same time. He's no more loving than he is powerful, than he is judge. And he doesn't. It's all of them the same way. So he can't be more of this, more of that. He's all of them. I try to make a graphic of to show, and it just doesn't do justice to what we're trying to show, because it does graphically, you can't. It's not one next to another. It's not one on top of the other. I just can't do it, because he is all of them. And the more you talk about one, then what about the other? Is he just? Yes. It's all of them. Do I understand all of it? No. But I keep coming back to, he loved me first. Although God's power is infinite, his use of that power is qualified by his other attributes. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, I want to share with you from this little book, The Attributes of God. I'm going to read, consider God's power in judgment. Because it really just hit me. So I want you to hear with me. When he smites, none can resist him. How terribly this was exemplified at the flood. God opened the windows of heaven and broke up the great fountains of the deep, and excepting those in the ark, the entire human race, helpless before the storm of his wrath, was swept away. A shower of fire and brimstone from heaven, and the cities of the plain were exterminated. Pharaoh and all his hosts were impotent when God blew open them at the Red Sea. What a terrific word is that of Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? God is going to display his mighty power upon the reprobate, not merely by incarcerating them in Geneva, but by supernaturally preserving their bodies as well as souls amid the internal burnings of the lake of fire. Well, may all tremble before such a God. To treat with impudence one who can crush us more easily than we can moth is a suicidal policy. To openly defy him who is clothed with omnipotence, who can rend us in pieces or cast us into hell any moment he pleases, is the very height of insanity. To put it on its lowest ground, it is but the part of wisdom to heed his command. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but little, says Psalm 2:12. Well, may the enlightened soul adore such a God, the wondrous and infinite perfection of such a being call for fervent worship. If men of might and renown claim the admiration of the world, how much more should the power of the Almighty fill us with wonderment and homage? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Exodus 15:11. And he finishes, well, may the saint trust such a God. He is worthy of implicit confidence. Nothing is too hard for him. If God were stint in might and had a limit to his strength, we might well despair. But seeing that he is clothed with omnipotence, no prayer is too hard for him to answer, no need great for him to supply, no passion too strong for him to subdue, no temptation too powerful for him to deliver from, no misery too deep for him to relieve. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. Now unto him that is able to exceed abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that work in us, unto him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I read it. This is the 10th time I read it. Because it just dies. He is the power. Not just the power to take care of us. To take care of us. One way or another. And he will. I don't have anything else. Any questions? I know there's many questions. Troy wanted me to launch into a very hard question, which is not hard. Yes. Yes. Right. You hear that? It's the difference between what he needs and what he wants. When we are in the new earth with him. Because we... Remember, it's the process. At the end, when he comes back, he's going to renew, and some will be with him in the new earth. Right. But it's that process. We're not there yet. He's not back yet.
In the end result.
Right. So we're not there yet. We're on our way.
God will make sure it happens.
Yeah. Correct. So let's close. Troy, would you mind closing us in prayer? Yes, you mind, but go ahead. Amen. Thank you all. Next week, we'll start with what Gruden calls communicable attributes, love, mercy, and all this stuff.